guys! This is your host, Miranda, of the Life Sucks podcast. Just wanted to remind you that, as always, copyright licensing information can be found in the episode notes, as well as any content or trigger warnings. And of course, I wanted to thank you for listening in, be it your first time or you are an avid listener. And to let you know that we are available to subscribe pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And we stream exclusively from anchor.fm. I am on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Tumblr as Miranda Gilastorm, M. Gilastorm in some inversion of that. So find me, follow me, like, subscribe, you know, do your thing. And again, thank you for listening, and on behalf of our whole Life Sucks podcast crew, I hope that you enjoy this podcast.
Okay, so welcome to the Life Sucks podcast. My name is Miranda, your host, and joining me tonight is one of my typical crew, Josh.
Goat Simulator made me want to kick a dragon.
Right. And our newest member, Dakota.
Hey there.
So, tonight our topic is one of our pop culture, current events, whatever we're calling them, topics. We're going to talk about video games and violence, if you couldn't guess from Josh's facetious comment. What?
I said I just got that, got you.
Ah, yes. That's been a common joke around here.
Oh. Tetris made me want to commit mass suicide.
Yes, yes. I was going to say, we keep hearing them around here.
Like 100 people and some punch, kind of mass suicide.
Right, yeah.
Nice, okay.
Bejeweled makes me want to commit robbery.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
GTA makes me want to shoot up strip clubs while the strippers are dancing for me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Something like that. So, we're not actually talking gun violence today. We're going to save that for when we have a bigger group.
Super Mario makes me want to stomp on turtles.
Oh. Kirby causes cannibalism? We're going to talk video games and the potential correlation to violent tendencies.
Pokemon.
You think Luigi's Mansion is why we have ghost hunters?
Oh god.
Oh god.
Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Pokemon makes me want to rescue pets and then beg people for money with animal abuse. Sorry, is that PETA?
Obviously the common offenders are going to be things like GTA, probably even like Red Dead.
Call of Duty.
Oh. I played Red Dead with my brother. I'm not really a big FPS person, so I hate Grand Theft Auto.
Wolfenstein made me want to kill Hitler.
Fair. Okay.
Fair.
You know what? Not sure how.
Right, all of a sudden video games aren't so bad when you're killing Hitler, huh?
I mean, I'm surprised history didn't do that, but, you know. Video games can do that.
I regret this decision.
I'm going to assume you guys played the majority of those games.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like first real FPS I had was Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a gift from my cop of a stepfather, so I mean, that says something, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Cody plays Grand Theft Auto. It's like the only video game he actually plays. Would you guys say Cody is violent?
He is very docile.
It's like,
out of everyone that I have met, he is the least likely. Like, he is the most docile, wants to just sit down and work on editing music.
Yeah. Cody is not a violent person. Ow! Midna!
Unlike Midna.
Yeah. I'll say, Josh, your opinion on violent video games.
I don't know really where to start here, other than, you know, it's just another blaming game from them.
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 Who's them?
The baby boomers that are actually bad parents.
Ah.
I definitely agree with you there. It seems a lot of this stems out of wanting to place our problems on something else, like other than ourselves and what we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, violent video games are doing this, even though, you know, like, billions of Chinese children play them a day and they never have that kind of stuff going on.
Right. Well, if you look at, like, the 80s when video games first started, there was this huge boom. And then there was the huge video game die-off when there was this social backlash against video games, saying they were too violent, they promoted violence in the kids, they were promoting rebellion.
But Legend of Zelda saved video games.
Legend of Zelda did save, Nintendo technically saved video games. Shocker.
So you're welcome, nerds. Stop making fun of Granddad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, there was that whole thing of, it's teaching our kids all these terrible things, and so we're basically rehashing this same argument that we already had 30-something years ago. Resuming.
Sorry, I had to get some munchies.
Right.
So, have you seen on pizza?
My point with the whole talk about the 80s being, there was this whole thing, like they did with comic books in the 50s, where there had to become, you know, this had to become, there had to have this rating system put in place, and had to know what was acceptable for certain age groups, and then of course Nintendo comes along and saves the day and makes it okay for everybody. And Legend of Zelda is a huge hit.
Like, this has killing, but it's not people, so it's cool.
Yeah.
It's not people, it's not close up like some of the arcade games were, where it's on the platform style.
That's that top down.
Yeah.
And it really brought it purely into, like, a fantasy realm rather than,
right,
anything that could be real.
Well, and then Nintendo just kept building on that platform, like that foundation.
That's true, because they don't really have any full human games that weren't created by another company.
Right, well,
Care Link brings me back.
What? What?
Pinkhaired Link.
Pinkhaired Link.
No, I'm from A Link to the Past.
Yeah, A Link to the Past.
Oh, gotcha. Those were caps.
That was Minish Cap.
Oh, yeah.
But they did the same thing. Like, then they started with the side scroller with Mario. You know, Final Fantasy was same thing, top down. But they were still fantasy based worlds with castles and monsters to beat. And then other things were starting to do the same thing. You had your Star Quest and things of that nature. And people started being okay with it all. Less worried about how kids were being violent. And now we're back having this conversation of how it's impacting our mental health. And we're being more violent. I don't know if we're strictly talking, oh, there's suddenly more gun violence in our schools, or suddenly more gun violence in the country. I don't want to say world, because that's not true.
You know, I will say that I think kids are just a lot more desensitized to those things instead, not really developing a violent behavior, just becoming less sensitive of it.
Well, I think that despite the attempts of the 50s with the comic codes and the 80s with the rating system and then
the ESRB.
Yeah. And then the TV ratings and then the movie ratings. I think that a lot more has slipped through to younger and younger generations over the years. I mean, you keep seeing the text posts everywhere of, yeah, when I was 15, I was, I don't even know, like, doing something, and then these 15-year-olds are watching YouTube videos on makeup tutorials. No wonder they look that, like that.
Yeah.
You know, those things.
Yeah.
And so it's just this kind of generational comparison of they are so much more grown up than we were at their age.
Yeah.
Which is completely true. I mean,
digital age changed the game.
It did.
It really did, because it enhanced our ability to intake information at a quicker pace. And as it became more readily available, I think that's one of the big problems. It really did desensitize us with all common day media and then video games on top of that. Like
what age restriction is there really to anything?
To real life, I mean.
Like, there's no protecting a kid from anything if they have access to something.
Yeah.
Like, my son has his tablet, but he can't get on anything I don't unlock for him.
Yeah.
But if I were to give him a smartphone at 8 years old, like my parents gave my baby sister, there's no saying what he could or could not access.
Yeah.
And there's no saying what he would or would not see on YouTube, on Tumblr, on Facebook, on any of it. And yes, there's age restrictions to sign up for those websites, but I signed my brother up for all of those websites long before he was, what is it, 13?
Yeah.
I just used my birth year and his birth month. That's what we did for everything. So they all say he's 28.
Yeah. I got you. It's, are you 28?
Yeah. You've lived here how long?
I thought you were 27.
I was waiting for him to be like, I thought you were like 26, like what?
First time I...
Or is it Cody that's 27?
Cody just turned 27.
Yeah.
That's right. You're the cradle robber.
I'm the cougar.
Cradle robber.
Yeah.
The cradle?
No, my mother is a cradle robber. I'm a cougar.
Ooh, wait, no. You would be... Wait. Him pursuing you would be the cougar.
No.
But you to him, what?
The older female is a cougar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying his pursuit of you is what makes you the cougar. Like, if you pursue back, kind of.
I don't think who pursues who is relevant in the situation.
I guess not.
It's just the fact that I'm older than him.
I don't know. That's always been a weird term in my eyes. Like, I like cradle robber.
Yeah, no. He's only, like, 9 months younger than me.
That's entertaining, nonetheless. Not gonna, like, now I feel bad, I don't want to say I'm like,
it's fine.
Your relationship's name is I've dated much older.
Yeah, no, his...
When I was 20, I dated a 30-year-old.
His, girlfriend before me was 22, and he was 18. That's about it. I don't know about the girls during our separation. How old they were.
We don't worry about that. So sorry.
Nope, you're fine. Oh dear. 20 minutes in. Haven't really had a serious conversation yet, mister. Oh, it's just a few of us. We can probably rein it in.
Well, if you didn't keep derailing the conversation.
I'm derailing the conversation.
Terrible. And now you're making a big deal out of it.
This is going to turn into 20 minutes of us fighting.
It's past 20 minutes.
20 more minutes.
No, I just know if I keep arguing, she will too.
I'm incapable of not having the last word.
And that's why the nerd poster is going to happen. Then I can just point to that. Nerd. She's like mid-rant.
So them ESRB ratings.
Pretty sure they're designed to help keep younger children away from the more violent and graphic nature of things.
To be fair though, like, I mean, if we look at humans' consistency to be like, when they can't reach something, they want it. It gives them a goal.
Well, I've been carded to see, like, rated R movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm carded to buy cold medicine, so.
But what I'm saying is, like, if we look at the, back when alcohol was banned.
Oh, yeah. Very effective.
People went behind their backs, they did everything they could to get a hold of alcohol. It almost encouraged it, because after they legalized it, sales went down.
Well, sales, I mean, sales decreased in the illegal channels, but the demand didn't decrease. The partying probably did, but I'm sure that if you were to study the actual consumption, like in-home wine drinking, in-home after-work beer, the consumption was probably consistent, but the speakeasy partying and illegal consumption drastically would have declined, I would assume. So bar sales would have drastically declined because people didn't have to go out to drink.
Mm-hmm.
They could purchase it for home. And the people who wouldn't have gone out to begin with no longer needed to.
Yeah. It's...
But it's hard to measure that kind of thing.
That makes sense. And I see how that could be a... difficult.
Mm-hmm.
To judge. But I think either way, there is something about the criminal element, quote-unquote, that feeling of, I'm doing something I shouldn't be.
Right.
That... brings a draw to it, and one of the reasons I think things like the ERSB ratings almost encouraged younger kids, they wanted to play the older people games.
Right, because they want, well, think of how we...
I mean, yes, as a kid, every kid goes, I want to be older, I want to be...
Well, it's not even just that, but, like, think of how we potty train kids.
Yeah.
Think of how we teach them. Well, you've got to do this like a big kid, like a big boy. Like, we almost condition them to want to be like a bigger kid. And then we set these things aside for the older kids, for the bigger kids, not for you. But we've already conditioned them to want the things for the older kids.
Yeah.
That's, like, why I try really hard. It doesn't work with Micah because Micah doesn't care what the other kids need or want. Because I'm fairly certain he's like me and has at least sociopathic tendencies. But the whole, don't you want to be like the big kids? Doesn't work for him. But we train our children. It's how we potty train them. You gotta go on the potty like a big kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big boy. Like a big girl. Use the big girl potty.
I don't want to be a big boy anymore.
Me either.
And that's the thing. Once we get there, then we're like, now what?
Yeah.
Humans are stupid.
This is spiraling.
Like, how are we ruling
but this
the
is,
planet?
This is ruling the planet. The planet's gonna kill us because we're killing it.
Wouldn't we just be killing ourselves then?
Yeah, basically.
Like, it's not the planet that's doing this to us.
No, we're doing it to ourselves by damaging the planet. The planet's just gonna take revenge on us.
Luckily, not in our lifetime.
You keep saying that as if you're a baby boomer.
That's...
But I have a child that I would very much like to have a pleasant life.
Yeah, see, I think that's what turns me off from having a child.
Yeah, I tried that. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't stick.
Yeah.
Still had him.
It still came out.
You've met him, though. There's no stopping his existence.
That's the truth. I don't think anything at that point would have.
Yes. So, but I do think that there's something to be said for this whole way that our society puts these expectations on our children and then puts the restrictions on them at the same time. Like, it's almost like I remember when I was getting my car and it was like I was trying to get my insurance and they wanted my license number or my license plate number, and then the DMV wanted my insurance before they would issue my license plate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this doesn't work. Like, this system doesn't work. Like, you guys do understand that I'm gonna just run in circles between the two of you until one of you realizes you both have to give me something. And, like, I feel like we've done that to our children. And, like, he was saying, in blaming violence on video games or movies or whatever else we want to blame it on, these industries are only going to make what there's a demand for. We live in a capitalist society that is growing more and more capitalist by the day as more and more regulations are stripped away. And they're only going to make what there's demand for and is profitable. If it's superhero movies, thank God. Because I'll watch all of them, even if they're made by DC and they suck.
They're still enjoyable.
Except for Shazam.
I never watched it because I knew that wasn't going to be enjoyable.
I did not go see it. Because I knew even the concept was horrible.
It's just
terrible. Yep.
What was my first stepdad's favorite superhero? I should have known something was wrong then.
Why? Anyways.
I don't know.
But if there's a demand, someone's gonna meet it with a supply. That's basic economics. That's the invisible hand. There it is. And so long as there is a demand for gore and violence in video games, movies, TV, hell, we were just talking about, I like werewolf shows. They're gory. They're weird.
There's shirtless men.
There's always somebody naked after transforming into a wolf thing.
Sometimes it's me. It's really weird.
Okay.
We're not sure how Josh got involved.
We're not sure how Josh got involved with werewolf shows, but he's on Teen Wolf and you should see him.
Now starring Josh,
you're confused.
Naked and
everybody
afraid.
Go watch all 5 seasons of Teen Wolf and see if you can spot Josh.
When Josh shows up,
just pictured me laying on the couch fully clothed, and then like you turn your head and look back, I'm just naked.
And then it literally then cuts to an ad for Naked and Afraid.
I'm just sitting there looking confused, like, what?
We're gonna get demonetized for trademarks.
Oh, true. I guess we're gonna have to cut that, but
that's fine. I do agree with Josh, though. We tend to try and find something to pick and blame.
Oh. Because no one wants it to be about themselves.
Because Trump, he wants it all about himself.
But not if we're putting the blame on him.
True.
Presently, the economy is threatening a recession, and he says it's the media's fault. I'm sorry, it's just the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Maybe it's causing a recession.
Yeah, the news is doing it. How?
The news likes to scare the crap out of people during storms, that's for sure. Because they're always trying to scare you away during a hurricane with, like, all the deadly storms that have hit and everything.
Yeah,
it's their job to help you evacuate.
They're like, get scared, get out.
Yeah, because they want you to evacuate.
You know what I did? I put on a penguin costume and danced in my yard during the hurricane.
That's because you are part
that
of Florida, man.
Too.
Hurricanes bring out your inner Florida man.
While I was outside dancing and, you know, the water is ankle deep, one of the Transformers explodes and the lightning starts carrying across the water and I was like, I'm dead. It ricocheted somehow. I got lucky.
There was probably something around to ground it.
Spider-Man.
You all get one.
Mom said the lightning's grounded.
Mom said it's my grounded. Turn with the lightning.
No, you're grounded. Oh,
oh damn.
Oh, shit.
It's like Zeus treating his lightning as babies. No, you're grounded.
Have you seen those memes? Greek mythology. Greek mythology without Zeus's sex life.
Yep.
Itty bitty.
A big old book, and then it's like...
I love that. Do we have any final thoughts on the correlation between... video games, media, and violence?
Oh god, we were terrible.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty good final thought.
Yeah, I really don't.
That one has some real imagery to it.
Yeah, I'm not going with that. That will be edited out.
What? Don't. Put it in like a bloopers clip.
No, it's getting to be doot-doot time, and that's nightmare fuel.
I will put together a bloopers clip if I have to.
I really should have like a blooper track. I
mean, what happens when all of a sudden all the bloopers get the views?
That's what most YouTubers have.
People just want to hear us be retarded.
That's totally fine. I really should just create one of these files for them all. Just a project file.
I said the R word.
Ooh. You really think they're listening to my podcast?
Probably.
You should send it to
You're going to get a text. You invited someone else in the group.
If you can hear this,
oh,
I'm
you think
working
he's
on
talking
the diss track.
That's hilarious.
True.
You hear it? I called it out. I'm working on the diss track.
That's fine.
Now in production.
Yeah, they're not talking to me at all. The drummer went off on me. The vocalist is done talking to me. You want to know something hilarious? I feel things too much. I take things too personally. And it shows.
I'm a dick.
You know when I got that message? I actually laughed and had to call Cody and be like, can you please tell me what I feel too much that it shows? And he was like, Britt, not in a bad way, but you don't really care about things. I was like, that was what I thought, but I just had to check.
I just
needed an outside opinion to validate what I already know about myself, but thank you.
Why? It's not like I've known you super long, but...
I just let things roll off. Like, I don't care. I just don't.
I'm a really clever troll.
I just don't care about things.
And I'm just... And my problem is, I love... It's like, you don't care about things yet. I feel like... I feel so much towards everything that it's all worth the exact same. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't... Things don't affect me. Like, I feel very intense loyalty towards my people. But once you become not my people...
Yeah.
I don't care about you. Like, the instant you betray me or my people, you are irrelevant.
Yeah. It's understandable, like...
Like, that's just how I see it. It's black and white. It is completely black and white. There's no gray. It's like, when you're done, you're done. Like, that's how I'm able to, like, cut off family, to, like, have friends and then not have friends. Like, there's no yes and, it's just yes or no.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot about today's people, too, is there's a lot of parenting that's just not good right now, mm-hmm. and how these kids were raised, and were forced into thinking that since you're your family, you should feel
a
devotion towards
so
them.
So much.
I'm like, and I'm expected of this by all of my family for mm-hmm. the fact that I'm on my third dad. Like, I don't understand what...
Me too.
My forced loyalty is, and which is kind of why I had this open stand of everybody's the same. Unless I care about you, if there's no reason for me to care for you as a person, there's no interaction, then I don't care what happens. And people seem so
offended. Oh yeah, it's terrible. Like, when I go to New Mexico, I do one thing. I go to Dion's, I send out a mass invitation, like, this is where I will be, what time. Whoever wants to come see me while I'm in town, come see me here, now. That's it. I'm not doing personal visits, I'm not doing personal calls, I'm not staying with anybody, I'm not doing the favoritism thing, because I don't play. You guys can all come and see me. This is your opportunity. And that's it. And so, if they show, they show. If they don't, they don't get to see me. Because I firmly believe in found family. Mm-hmm. Because my blood family have been my abusers my whole life. I'm not about that. Not even a little bit. So they can just go live their lives. I'll live mine. I'll take care of my sisters as much as they want me to, because I feel I owe them a responsibility for, while I was suffering, not being there for them as their big sister. And that's about it. I've cut off the majority of my family. I don't really interact with them. But this group, this is family.
Yeah.
Like TJ and Riley, they're family. Josh is family. We've adopted him. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
This is my family, and I will fight for these people. Okay. So we're back now. Decided that video games and violence is too narrow a topic. Yes? Yes. No. Too narrow a topic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the given night.
Yeah. I don't think we have enough input. Okay. So we're talking about family, parenting, pointing the blame at other things.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Family does like to put those weird expectations on us. No, you owe us your loyalty, period, end of story. And they do this thing where it's hey, we pay your rent and your power and your water. How dare you ever expect anything else from us, ever? And act like that's good enough.
Yeah.
And that's not parenting.
And that was my family. I know growing up with, I don't want to say mental issues, but these almost mental, I don't know the best way to say it, but dealing with depression, schizophrenia, sociopathic tendencies, anything of the sort, it, especially during our teenage years when a lot of this stuff really shines through on top of your rebellious acts and whatnot. It's almost as once you're through that, your parents, they don't accept the criticism of, they're so busy trying to figure out what's going on with you, and sorry, I was rambling, but growing up with these stigmas, I don't know what you want to call them at the moment, spacing the words, it's almost as if the parents kind of give up with it once they figure out what it is. They're like, oh, well, now you're... So, going on about the parents giving up after the diagnosis, figuring out everything that's really going on, they feel like, well, now my kid's able to deal with this. I get it. It gets easier once you know what you're dealing with. But, same time, it isn't end-all, cure-all. We still have to work through that, and the parents don't realize that by... There's always this little short cupcake period, I want to call it, that once they figure it out, it's, oh, we'll try to help, and then once that falls off, it's back to, I don't get why the kid doesn't look at us like we're God. We are everything to them. We gave them this, almost like they owe us, you know?
Yep.
And on top of that, during this, the original time growing up with dealing with depression and everything like that, of what the parents are already saying and doing with us, putting the blame on us for
being this way.
Exactly. God only knows what. Why are you acting like this? Or grades slipping in school, freaking people out. I don't know. I I had my fair share of that.
Yeah.
But, they don't realize the things
Link.
That are... These cats. They don't realize the things that are said to you during that time of growing up. When you don't know what's going on, much less them. That what they've said to you actually does damage, and it can... That's where the disconnect really starts, and they don't understand that once you figured out what your life is, that suddenly the past disappears, and that it's back to, we should really look at our family members like they're all we have in this world, when in reality, it's... You can choose your family. You can't choose who gave birth to you, or who you lived with growing up. But you can choose your family going forwards.
My circumstances were probably a bit different. Because... my parents had me diagnosed as a way of... discrediting me.
Mm-hmm.
So that my accusations didn't mean anything as a child. Because I was... basically a pathological liar, a sociopath, so nothing I said could mean anything. So it was basically, like, it wasn't a, so we can get her help now, it was a, so we can shut her up. I think it's been pretty well established, my parents are not great. But one of the things was my mom was trying to press charges on my behalf when I was younger. For the child sexual abuse. And because my state of New Mexico actually has really weird laws for minors.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, minors don't have a whole lot of rights. And because my mom doesn't have, or didn't have any custody of me, she didn't have the right to press charges for me. So my dad would have had to press charges, or the report would have had to come from a counselor, or guidance counselor, or someone like that. Someone who was putting in, like, an official report.
Got you.
And, so, before I went to school, my dad and my stepmother had me diagnosed as a sociopath with pathological lying.
Mm.
So that when I went to school, that was in my file. So if I ever went to a guidance counselor, it wouldn't be considered a valid report. Stop! You're gonna make him start again? That's my laptop!
Oh god. Good catch. But continuing on with my family growing up, it took me a long time to recognize this on the reason I resented my family growing up and why to this day I don't talk to my family. My sister is best friends with my parents and I rarely talk to them. And it really boils down to the fact that I realized that as much as they swear they weren't about image to me, I could tell they really were. It was like...
Yeah.
They got me into a hospital because they knew I was depressed. They could tell something was wrong. And it was almost like they were just fighting so that way they could get the diagnosis and then act like it wasn't there anymore. As if it would just magically disappear.
Right,
once I
or
found
like
out about
once
it.
You know what it is, somehow that fixes the whole problem.
Exactly. And I mean, I was like, I think it was like 12 or 13. And, or actually, sorry, first time that they diagnosed me, I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had just gotten, they were getting a divorce, and just like, everything that it came down to, I know all kid parents say, oh, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, and this one I could genuinely tell once I grew up, because the first dad I really remember, this was my second father, he was a child, complete and utter child.
Ironically, so was my first stepdad.
It just, like, he was into MMA and stuff like that. He was a total geek, which is totally okay. I mean, look at all of us.
Yeah.
Bunch of nerds. But there was no separation in his life. There was no parenting that happened there. So I missed a lot by the time I reached age 8. So a lot of those manlier traits never made it into me, where you would normally pick up on your father's interactions and whatnot. I was raised by my mom, pretty much. But, my stepfather, or Mark, my current father, whatever you want to call him, he, growing up, was very strict about that, because he grew up in a little small town, country boy, like, mildly racist, not terribly, but mildly racist. I'll say that nicely.
Yeah.
It put a lot of stress on me because the way I walked, the way I talked, my mannerisms, anything, were all just too feminine in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone growing up assumed I was gay. And I still deal with that today, and it is what it is. I gotta deal with it because it's how I am, how I talk to people.
You don't seem overly effeminate to me.
Thank you. But it really distanced me from them back in my middle school to high school years. It wasn't me trying to resent them. It was the fact that I didn't want to spend time getting insulted. Because my father felt I needed to be helped.
Yeah.
And then it really wasn't until 2 years ago when I, for the first time, got institutionalized after my entire childhood being filled with, if you keep acting like this, we're gonna have to send you to the hospital. It was dangled over my head like some sort of scary plaything. Like, for them, it was just an absent threat, something to be like the boogeyman in the closet, going to the institution, going to the, where all the crazies go.
Right.
And it wasn't until it got to the point that I realized I needed to have myself admitted after I had just barely came with death, when I realized I needed to find something. And at suddenly this point, it turned everything around for them. Suddenly, oh, well, I never saw this, and I was doing all this research, and blah, 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 and that's where the quote-unquote cupcake period came in.
Right.
After that ended, I haven't really talked to them since. I went back to college, fell back into a depressive spiral, came back, and then just don't talk to them. I live with them and I appreciate them, but I'm always working, I'm doing work for them around the house, but there's not much
relationship.
I feel like I'm living in a tenant's home. And it was the exact same way when I was a child. My dad asked why I respect him, and I said fear. And I live with you. Those are the two things. That was how I got through the day when I was growing up.
Yep.
And I know it grows to show that what you tell your kids, regardless, when they're growing up, really puts a stifling on their relationship with you. But would my parents ever stop to go, this is my fault? Or would they rather sit here and go,
there's something wrong with you.
He's sitting here dealing with his own head, so we ought to just let him be. It's his fault. It's all him.
Yeah.
It's trauma. It really is. And I don't mean to sound like the snowflake, whatever people are calling it nowadays, kind of deal. We need a safe room. But it's genuine trauma when you've been berated, expected to be better with no sort of help, and then dangled with what you really need to be almost like a nightmare your family's dangling in front of you.
Yeah. Well, and it's so crazy, like, the things that will impact a child. Like, I remember the day that my mom told me, ugh, get off, no hugs right now. Like, that's why whenever Micah comes up and he does his hugs and he's rolling all over me and he's climbing on me, I won't say no, no hugs. I'll tell him, Micah, you can't climb on mommy like that, or Micah, that hurts. But I would never tell him, Micah, no, no hugs.
Yeah.
Because I always want him to know that I love him and I'm going to hug him. And so when he asks for hugs, I'm going to give him a hug. I never want him to feel like I don't want to show him affection.
Yeah.
Now, he is a very bony little child, and it really does hurt when he climbs on me and
rolls
on me.
Oh, yeah, no, I found that out earlier. Like, he's, like all, like... I was like, this is the weirdest back massage ever.
No concept of personal space. But, like...
He's all cuddled up to me, and I was like, yeah, I barely know you, but you cool.
Yeah, but, like, I distinctly remember that. And I know, like, I've talked to another mom who she said that her older daughter had said to her she remembered the last time her mom picked her up.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, a distinct before and after in her mind. Like, she remembered the last time her mom carried her. And so... It's just, like, one of those things where, like, there's no right answer, but, like, it's something that impacts someone.
Yeah.
And now my mom was just being bitchy that day because it was hot and it's Florida and it was one of the summers that I was here visiting and she was cranky and
yeah.
There was a football game on and whatever.
A whole bunch of understandable.
Yeah. Like. And, like, I get it because I do get, like, Micah can be all over me. Like, I get it. But at the same time, like, I distinctly remember that moment.
Yeah.
And that is something that, like, very much made me feel unwanted in my mother's space. And, like, in New Mexico, I was not wanted in the space. Like, I couldn't have my things out and visible. There were no pictures of me in the house. Like, my stuff had to be tucked away. Like, I didn't have, like, well, we didn't have bedrooms, period, but, like, it just was what it was, and, yeah. Like, there could be no physical evidence of me in the house, and so I was very much not wanted in the space. I could have no space of my own, yeah. So, like, that feeling of just not being allowed to exist can be horrific and just so invalidating.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's one of the things that I try to give to Micah so much. In that, like, you know, his room is his room. Like,
yeah.
He wants to go in there, play, do what he wants. I try to let him. Yeah, Cody goes in there, cleans it up, and then Micah destroys it again. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, like...
I mean, we can't sit here and let anything be, like, a complete pigsty. It's understandable. No.
But, like, I want him to feel, like, if he wants to bring his toys out here and play, I want him to feel like he's allowed to exist in this space.
Yeah.
Because that was taken from me as a child. I wasn't allowed to exist in any space that I was in. So, I want my son to always feel like he's allowed to be in the space that he's in. Because people don't understand that this whole, like, out of sight, out of mind thing is not okay.
Yeah.
Like, or to be seen and not heard thing, that does damage. Like, for somebody to think, oh, I'm not allowed to speak unless I'm spoken to, like, I have to be acknowledged to be allowed to have a voice.
Yeah.
Those kind of concepts do damage. They invalidate a person. They make them think, I don't matter enough to speak up when I have a thought. I am not allowed to talk when I'm in a room with people.
Yeah.
They make people just sit there and be quiet and feel like they're interrupting if they ever speak up. And that's not okay.
Yeah. It really isn't.
But that's how our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation, raised their kids. And they think that that's just polite. And it's not. It's completely and totally invalidating.
It really is, and it's sad to see. I almost feel like I came from almost opposite situation of an equally bad caliber. There's two ways to see it. So I really see my life in almost three distinct parts. First one being my first stepdad. Second one being the time before my mom was with my third stepdad and then third stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all three very, very distinct parts of my childhood. And the thing is the second movement of my life, the time when it was just me, her, and my sister, were the more fond memories, and was the more fond memories, and the memories the last time that she held me, the last time I was, like, really, I felt like me and my mom were family. And she was the only full blood I ever had growing up. My sister's my half-sister, different father, same mother. So, really, the only full blood I had was her, my grandma, and my aunt. And I realized, now that I'm older, I realize how much she really changed between those three people, and how just the need to fit in and feel loved within her family. She was raised a lot like you were, mm-hmm. where her parents were kind of out of sight, out of mind. Her dad was very rich at the moment. He was in stock markets, everything like that during the boom. They were every summer in Fiji. Like, they lived a nicer life, mm-hmm. but it was kind of, she always said that she never received a lot of that love kind of deal.
Right.
And mine was, I received that love when I knew my mom was really my mom herself, back when it was just her and her kids, you know? Because I knew that from her, because my first dad was always deployed. He was always gone in the military, or when he was here, he was watching anime and not really doing much of anything. He was any part of society. The other two times, what my dad's wanted was what they got, and sadly, with my third dad growing up, he wanted a more manly son, and I wasn't that, if that makes sense. So it created this disconnect between us, and for me, it made me have to stand out when I meet people, when I first meet them. I really want to be that person that everyone likes. Because I got so used to moving with the military and not having a stable family home, and just, like, growing up, one of the phrases that I remember the most clear in my mind was, we went to Disney World, and my mom snapped, can we just pretend to be a happy family for once? Like, at that point, she's recognizing what I always thought when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
That we were all pretending, and it's not until recently, with constant family fights, that I'm seeing the same patterns happen again that I did with the first stepfather, and seeing where it's all going, because she's not herself anymore. And that's kind of what brought me into looking at myself while looking at her as well, of we both feel this overwhelming need to be what other people want.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all stems from our mental health growing up, of we don't know what we want to be and what we have to do. We just know that we want that attention from our families, that positive reinforcement. The first time I heard my father, my current father, say, I'm proud of you, I cried. I broke down and full out cried. And yet, that to me is not a positive memory, because I don't, even to this day, feel I earned it. Because I just raised not feeling like I was what they wanted. And that's part of the reason I'm so happy-go-lucky when I meet everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I want to get to know you, so that way for the short time I'm here, I have something positive to look on.
See, I don't believe that family, familial love should be something that is consequential.
Shouldn't be required.
No, I don't think it's something that should have requirements. Like, I don't think there should be stipulations to be met. Like you. I don't meet my mother's gender stereotypes. I am far too tomboyish, boyish, if far too assertive and aggressive. Not successful enough. Blah, blah, blah. List goes on and on. And my mental health is bad, which is just a bad look for the whole family. But, that list of stipulations that comes with, well, I will love you the way you want me to, if. That's not family. That's like high school.
It feels like a high school relationship.
Yeah, that's like high school BFFs kind of thing. Like, we can be friends if we're gonna do all these things. That's not like family. Are you even alive, Josh?
Like, I have no idea what Josh is thinking about over there.
I'm being a good listener.
Okay. So, like...
I love that's the first thing he has said in, like, 20 minutes.
I'm not even sure he's on
our planet. Does that prove me right?
I guess so.
I suppose.
Midna.
Listen here, bro.
Honestly, when I'd fall asleep in class, I used to say that, too. And my teacher would, like, wake me up and I'd say, I'm just being a really good listener.
But that's part of why, like, I believe so firmly in our little family, like I said before, because it's not based on some arbitrary demands.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of why all of this drama that's going on is so baffling to those of us who have stuck by the group, because we're like, dude, where's your loyalty?
Yeah.
Like, why would you leave the group rather than being willing to work things out?
Yeah.
Because this is our family.
Yeah.
And this family is more important than whatever else you're upset by.
Yeah, that's acting like blood family.
Exactly. Being offended and walking away is acting more like the rest of our family as opposed to what we've built.
Yeah.
Which is probably why the rest of us are upset and the person involved doesn't get it.
And frankly, that's retarded.
Are we gonna have to admit that? I think that can't go in case they are listening.
I kind of want to leave it though.
Yeah.
It's too good not to.
It is.
It was good. I think it deserves a high five.
Y'all thought I wasn't paying attention.
I weren't paying attention.
I weren't doing it, y'all.
But I don't believe relationships should have these kinds of stipulations. I just believe that you're there for that person, they're there for you, it just comes naturally. And there's mutual support, mutual respect, and this loyalty.
I'm scared.
That just happens, like,
yeah,
in these kinds of relationships. Like, you've been friends with TJ for forever. Mm-hmm. Would you say you guys have that kind of relationship?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever been on bad terms.
But it's not even about bad terms. It's...
Well, right, but I mean, like, we've never even had stupid squabbles. We've always just been really cool.
But, like, you guys have that mutual respect. You'd always be there for each other if the other needed anything.
Yeah, like, that's true.
If Riley needs something, I'm one of the first people she calls. Same thing with TJ. If he needs advice, he's gonna come to me. Or he'll go to Josh. They might even text Cody. Now that nobody hates him since it's not 2018 anymore. The year that shall not be named.
Thank you.
You know, we both hate 2018, but for so many different reasons.
That's fine.
2018 sucks.
I think 2018 was just a cryptid's year. Like, it was terrible for everyone that I've met.
But, like,
everybody finally had that terrible year of adulting.
Yeah, it was really terrible. That's okay. I'd like to think that I conquered 2018, that it was my hero's quest, and I came out on top.
You know what? I'm alive, so I guess so. Same as here. That was the year that everything really went down and when I really turned everything around.
Yeah, it almost broke me, but I'm good. I'm back.
Since it's me describing my 2018, there was just enough lube.
Just...
Otherwise, just I was done for.
Enough.
Nah, I was...
It was like barely, but just enough.
I feel like I was at the proctologist. I think it's the proctologist, the one that has to check your butt.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sounds about right.
He couldn't quite reach far enough, so it was just kind of up to the elbow. I was, 2018's puppet, it almost felt like. It was a rough year.
Yes, it was. So, yes. I think we can end on that.
I hate that what I just said.
Discussion just turned into fuck 2018. Yeah.
No. It was... Found family is the best family.
It really is. And, like, I always look forward to, like, being with you guys. Like, this is a staple part of my week now. I'm like, Saturdays are... This time is to go hang out with them.
Yeah.
Because it's a good end to the week.
Yeah.
And it totally forces you out of the house.
Exactly, which I
And it forces my... Not... What are you guys? Introverts.
Yes.
My introverts to socialize.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot better at that.
You have been.
To the point where I feel like I'm annoying you and Cody again, but because I'm around so much.
Not annoying me. Nobody annoys me. Oh, I forgot to tell everybody my brother wants to be featured in one when he's in town. He's been in the military for the last 3 years. You won't be introducing him, I guarantee it.
Fair.
Okay.
So yes, found family is the best. Bad parents never take the blame for what they do. They find more fun things to blame, like video games and movies.
Wow, full loop, there we go.
Yep.
I'm glad someone's conscious enough to do that.
I had lots of long naps today. And this has been your Life Sucks podcast for the week. Sort of, since I still haven't finished last week's podcast, since it took a lot of editing. We'll see y'all next time.
Not Bye. Really, because we're just voices.
Whatever. Bye.